In this episode of Crypto Over Coffee, we're talking about three cryptocurrency altcoin ecosystems that you need to watch in April of 2024. We're going to talk about why I'm looking at these, why I think that they are particularly bullish right now based on what's going on in the market. I'll also talk about how to approach these from the perspective of making your own strategy to address them in the information that we're talking about in the video today. So without further ado, please hit the subscribe button, hit follow on the podcast platform of your choosing, and let's dive into the first altcoin ecosystem that I think you need to be watching in April of 2024. And the first ecosystem that we're going to be talking about here is Phantom. Phantom FTM. And I just want to disambiguate a little bit up front. When I talk about altcoin ecosystems, I'm not going to talk about a bunch of different specific coins because I want you to take the information I'm going to provide you here and apply it to your own strategy. Pick which coins in this ecosystem that you're going to buy. That's completely up to you, and you may opt not to buy any. So we're not giving financial advice here, just so that we're very clear. Now, why Phantom? Why Phantom in the first place? Now, if you remember way back and you were around in the 2021 bull market, you'll remember that Phantom was one of the big projects that zoomed into the picture from a DeFi perspective. It was a fast Ethereum virtual machine compatible chain where lots of DeFi projects got built. And it is actually a project that's been, you know, built on and sort of built from the ground up by Andre Krohn, who is a DeFi wizard. This guy was a mastermind behind a lot of the DeFi projects that you've probably used today. So the work that he's done has inspired a lot of work that's been done in DeFi to date. So Phantom is a project that flew to all-time highs several times during the 2021 bull run, and then subsequently had a bit of a cooling off. And it was actually one of the last projects to really have its heyday at the end or the tail end of that last bull market. Now, a lot of people thought Phantom was a dead project, and you'll still see that on crypto Twitter quite a bit. People saying, yeah, Phantom is not going to come back. Phantom is dead. Phantom is not dead, and I'll tell you why. For one, Andre Krohn is back in the driver's seat, really working on building this protocol up. The second thing is that Phantom 2.0, which is sort of the reimagination of Phantom itself, was something that's been in the works for a long time, and it is now coming to fruition. So Phantom Sonic, as it's called, is going to replace the Phantom Opera network. So you can kind of think of that like the Phantom 1 to Phantom 2 migration, I guess you could call it. And without getting into the technical nitty-gritty, Phantom Sonic is going to bring optimizations across each layer, right? It's going to bring optimizations to the execution layer, right? How it actually executes smart contracts, and that'll have effects for Phantom's use for DeFi. It's going to have effects on the scalability of the network, raising the peak transaction throughput of the network. Today, one of the big narratives is low fees, high scalability, instant transactions, instant swaps and easy integrations for DeFi applications. And so that is one of the things that Phantom Sonic is going to bring. And you're starting to see some of that show up in the Phantom market. So Phantom FTM has already seen a pretty decent run in the market recently. I think it's a lot of this is driven from the narrative around Phantom Sonic and some of that excitement. However, I don't think that we've seen all that's going to come from Phantom. I think we're about to see some capital moving into alt EVM chains, including layer twos. And we're going to get to a layer two that I think you should be watching and some more reasons why in just a few minutes. So make sure you stick with me. Now, Phantom FTM, I think where you're going to see the capital inflow coming from is from a couple of narratives. Number one, I think people like to chase significant upgrades on blockchains. So Phantom Sonic is going to drive people to take a look at Phantom FTM, and that investment in FTM then starts to trickle down to specific assets within the FTM chain itself. Now, Phantom is likely going to remain very focused on DeFi. And in DeFi, what drives users onto the chain? New opportunities for yield, opportunities to provide liquidity into new protocols, and new opportunities with regard to DeFi projects where there are different principles at play. So whenever Andre Krohn creates a new DeFi primitive or a new DeFi project, usually people dive in trying to take advantage of the hype that comes with it. Now, Of course, you're going to need to formulate a strategy. It's not as simple as going and just buying up everything that you see in the Phantom ecosystem. You may not want to buy anything if this doesn't fit your strategy. What I would suggest that you do is I would go read up on Phantom Sonic, decide whether or not that paired with the desire for people to find sustainable yield at with low fees in DeFi in the Ethereum ecosystem, and some of the things that are driving the layer 2 space are likely also going to drive things for Phantom. What I would say is Phantom FTM, you're already seeing some of the uptake, but I don't think that the DeFi space in Phantom, if you look at the graphs in terms of total value locked, in terms of on-chain activity, that you've seen as much uptake there. And I have a feeling you will. So Phantom FTM, that's the first project that I'm keeping my eye on right now, that ecosystem around it, specifically in DeFi. As we see in spring 2024 estimated, that Phantom Sonic upgrade launched. How does that affect fees? How does that affect execution? What type of hype does that drive around the chain? And if you start to see it trending online, you start to see people flocking over there to chase some of the yields, to chase some of the new DeFi projects and some of the nice performance over there with low fees, you could very well be in a really happy place with Phantom FTM and that ecosystem. Now, for completely different reasons, I want to talk about this next one, and that is Avalanche. I've talked about Avalanche in a couple of recent videos, and the reason is because Avalanche is particularly interesting. Avalanche is one of those chains that hasn't hyper-focused on one specific niche or narrative. It's remained very much a general-purpose blockchain with decent fees and really interesting technology at the base layer. So you obviously have the concept of subnets, which are basically, you know, sovereign chains that all feed into one core Avalanche main chain, I suppose you could call it. Now, Avalanche has picked up a lot of steam in a variety of different industries, like I mentioned. So you have real-world asset tokenization, where they have their hands in that. You have gaming and GameFi. You have the AI coins, which I'm a little questioning. I question those a little bit. Of course, people are making profits from them, but there are very limited use cases where AI and blockchains and Web3 really go together. So I'm a little torn on those. But of course, Avalanche is in that space. You're starting to see, for better or for worse, again, people hate them or love them. Meme coins are starting to pick up steam on Avalanche as well. And I'm sure there are things I'm missing off the top of my head. I don't really write scripts for these videos. I just talk about them stream of consciousness. So if I'm missing something, let me know in the comments. Avalanche has that sort of perfect combination going right now, in my opinion, around the technological aspects are in place to continue to move in the right direction in terms of adoption. They have a really strong business arm, which drives not only the user side, which is very important, but also enabling builders to build things, whether that be through financial means, so grants and incubators and launch pads, etc., which is very helpful, and people underestimate those things. But they're also very good at arming the creators, influencers, whatever you want to call them, with information and tools. And there's an ambassador program that I think is turned out really well for the Avalanche ecosystem. And all of these things together end up driving demand for the chain. So as we start to see some of that capital flight from different chains where we've had a lot of success and a lot of excitement, so Solana is a big one, right? I think Solana has brought in a lot of new capital. They're sort of, I think, increased the total view of the market from different users, right? They brought in new users. But I also think that capital is going to start to flow from Solana, when things cool off a little bit, into alt L1s like Avalanche, like Phantom, for example, where there's a lot of opportunity in DeFi, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity in various types of tokens across different narratives. So for Avalanche, I tweeted the other day that Avalanche at, you know, low $50 range US for AVAX, to me, looks like a pretty decent opportunity. Of course, I'm not telling you to buy, like I said in that tweet. But what I'm saying is that I haven't yet seen the excitement and the fervor around Avalanche that I think is probably coming. Now, last cycle, I believe Avalanche made its way all the way up to over $140 US, and a lot of that was driven by excitement around DeFi and gaming coins. This time around, I have a feeling that we will see that same type of excitement, but this time, you're going to have projects that have been building for a long time in this space on Avalanche with products that people actually want to use. Then you're going to have some of the new things, the latest crazes around, like I mentioned, AI, decentralized physical infrastructure, some new gaming and GameFi type of tokens. You're going to have new things, of course, that are going to drive net new people into Avalanche. But I think you're going to start to see that capital flight or shift from ecosystems where things have been popping off for a long time, like Solana, start to move into all L1s. And Avalanche is one of those ones that I haven't seen the excitement for yet. And that, to me, in the back of my mind says, it's probably one of the next ones to start to catch on. So in April, I'm going to be really looking at a couple of those big narratives that we just mentioned. And very likely, if you watch my channel, if you've viewed previous videos, you've been working on formulating your own strategy, picking a few narratives that you're really excited about, that would be my advice in terms of how you approach this. First is determining, do you agree with me? Do you agree that Avalanche is one of the next up? Do you agree that Avalanche is a likely target for capital that's going to move looking for new opportunities after things cool down on some of the other ones that we've seen explode over the last probably 3-4 months? If you agree with me there, then your next step is picking which narratives you think Avalanche is going to really drive value for. There are lots of different options now, honestly, too many for people to track, and that's why I would say, and I have said in previous videos, that you need to pick a few narratives that you understand really well and just hammer home on those. So when you look at Avalanche, you will be looking at it from that lens. What narratives are you personally the most familiar with, the most comfortable with, the most comfortable making decisions around in terms of when you want to enter, when you'd want to sell, if you found the right token, and picking tokens that you think are going to do well in those particular narratives. So Avalanche is one of those ones because it's really does cater to a variety of different types of narratives. You're going to need to be extra careful, and you're also going to need to make sure that you're thinking about that from your own strategy perspective, not just from mine, which is the exact reason why I'm not going to give you coins that I'm particularly interested in, because the narratives that I'm interested in may not be the ones that you're interested in. So it's not that type of channel. I don't pick, hey, this is the next 100x coin. That's not my style. Last thing I'll say on Avalanche that I think is really important for people to consider is that Avalanche is very likely to benefit greatly from the prevalence of real-world asset tokenization. That is, of course, recently a huge topic of conversation because people are really thinking about this as it relates to the BlackRock news, where BlackRock has filed for a tokenized fund. So, given that, you've seen a lot of real-world or RWA, real-world asset tokenization projects, start to really do well in the market based on speculation. But again, speculation is one thing, moving into real-world implementations is another. And I think Avalanche has been working on this for years now already, really getting into business with some of the big players out there that are trying to work on this and build this for real. So a real-world asset tokenization or RWA pop-off would really benefit Avalanche as well. And I think that that's the other thing, that's the sleeper that people need to think about. So keep that in the back of your mind. If you're interested in RWA, Avalanche is definitely something that might be of interest to you. Now, the last ecosystem that I want to talk about is a true layer two in the Ethereum space. I've talked about it in a previous video that was more general to 2024, but I'm speaking about it again in this video for April 2024 because I feel like it's going to be a make or break time for a lot of people's strategy as it relates to this particular chain, and that chain is Base. Now, Base is one of those controversial ones right now. It is a layer two network that lives in the Ethereum space. We just had the Denkun upgrade for Ethereum that brought EIP-4844 blob space to the Ethereum mainnet, which means that the overall costs for layer twos to settle transactions on the layer one are drastically lower. And so you saw a lot of excitement around Base and other layer twos as well, but a lot around Base because of that particular upgrade, drop the fees significantly for people to use it. So again, we talked about Solana, why Solana has done so well. It's the low fees. It's the ability to instantaneously get what you want in terms of settling your trades in DeFi, buying that NFT, transferring coins. It happens like people have come to expect on the internet. People don't have patience to wait several minutes for a transaction. That's important from a user experience perspective, whether we like it or not. People have their own opinions on Solana, but that is what has drawn a lot of users to Solana. It's that instantaneous transactions with extremely low fees. That's what people want. On Base, that's what you get. On Base, we're also very, very early. You can scroll through the entire list of coins on Base in a matter of seconds. And what that tells you is not that Base doesn't have any tangible desire for adoption, but it's that Base is extremely early in its adoption. You mostly have meme coins and a few early stage NFT and decentralized exchange products, but Base, like Coinbase, its parent, are builder focused to the max. So being builder focused is one of the things I harp on the most. It's providing tools, programs, and culture that is targeted towards builders, because when builders build things, they bring in new users. When you bring in new users, that creates more incentive for builders to build, and then you get that nice cycle going. Again, I've repeated this on the channel many times before, but it's a fundamental principle that I think people need to remember in this space. Now, Coinbase is really good at that. We've seen that. They're also really good at onboarding new users, irrespective of a chain. So Coinbase already has tons and tons and tons of users around the globe that they can very easily onboard to the Base chain. So a lot of people have been saying, well, Base is a quote unquote forced narrative, because a lot of influencers have been talking about Base lately. And I think the reason is because a lot of influencers know people are looking for that next Solana. People are looking for the ability to get in early, and this is an easy sort of play for them to say all the signs point to it being an early stage thing. 100% true from my perspective. All the signs point to success for Base. But the reason why I'm saying April 2024 is the time to watch Base and the coins on Base is because now that EIP 4844, you have Blobspace, you have low fees, you have influencers talking about Base, you have people presumably building on Base, and you have the future roadmap of Base starting to be pitched online, now is the time for us to see how many people actually onboard to Base, how much capital moves into Base, how many people are moving through the traditional means of going from the Coinbase application and the smart wallet that they're building for easy onboarding, moving from there onto the Base chain. How many new retail users are coming on board? These are the things that we're gonna wanna see from the Base chain in April 2024. And you're gonna also wanna see how many new coins are being created on Base that are not just memes. Of course, memes are important because memes bring in new users, and we've seen that whether you like memes or not, meme coins or not, it does draw in a lot of users. But memes are largely what's on Base right now. And that's fine, that's cool, but I wanna see what these builders are planning to build with the characteristics that Base offers, with low fees, generally performant execution, which should be the next phase of scalability for Base, is improving execution. Now that they've solved some of the data availability challenges. Now, with Base, the other thing that I think people need to be thinking about with regard to Base is how many people onboard to Base from Solana, and also how many people move from Solana to an established chain like Avalanche or Phantom versus moving to Base. How powerful is that narrative around being early, even when there's not a whole lot to work with on that chain right now? That's going to be the interesting thing for me, is money talks in this case. Where do people put their money when they have the option, when they have multiple options, where an ecosystem might start to heat up? What do they do? Now, I have a feeling that you're going to start to see more and more people moving towards Base because the narrative around being early is very, very, very compelling. Now, I'm not saying that every coin on Base is going to be a success. Frankly, you can't say that about any ecosystem. But what I am saying is Base is very likely going to be home to brand new projects, and it may even be projects that already exist there. There are a few really interesting ones on there. Again, I'm not going to mention specifics because then I get into that trouble where people just blindly drop money into something that I say, even though I'm saying, please don't do that. So I'm not going to. But there are already interesting projects on Base that don't have tokens yet that may end up launching tokens. You've seen that happen time and time again, whether through an established and communicated airdrop mechanism or just a token event where people who have used it get tokens. So the reality is Base looks like one of those opportunities where you can dive in, really easily get access to the chain. That's the key, right? Easy onboarding, easy and cheap now to move ETH. I just did it as a brand new user. Like I just created a net new account for one of my family members, shifted some ETH from their Coinbase over to Base, and it cost nothing and it took no time at all. The onboarding is super, super easy. You know, back when I did this, you had to use the Base Bridge, which was online. I did it on the web. I paid not insane, but pretty decent fee to actually make that move. The onboarding is only getting easier and it's only gonna get easier from here. So think about the average retail user. The first thing they might do when they start to get comfortable in crypto, moving away from the app, is starting to play with Base because they're gonna stay within that Coinbase ecosystem. Now again, whether you like the sort of quote unquote centralizing aspects of that, that's up to you, that's not for me to decide. But what I think is most interesting is the opportunity that might be present. And April looks to me like a make or break moment for the Base narrative. What actually happens? Do we continue to see the flight of capital, users, and builders to Base or not? That's what I'm gonna be watching for. So in summary, I'm looking at April as the time to see where capital moves, whether it's net new retail coming in or resources moving from Solana as things inevitably cool down a little bit in those spaces, and look for other opportunities for yield, entries into different projects, and to work towards different narratives that are out there right now. Because again, crypto is narrative driven. On all of these chains, there is a narrative that speaks to why people would start to use it. So let me know what you think in the comments below. Please comment your favorite ecosystems as well, where you are placing your bets and where you are watching in April 2024. Thank you very much for watching this and every other episode of Crypto Over Coffee, or for listening if you're more of a podcast person. And until the next one, cheers.